12. I'm going to try to finish this subject off tonight, even though I could probably go a little bit longer, but there's some other things that I'd like to preach on over the next few weeks, and I think tonight would be sufficient time to finish our subject. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, we'll read down to verse 13. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father's Spirit and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Beloved, we return this evening to this most blessed and yet often misunderstood passage of Scripture in hopes that we might learn more of its wonderful and great truths. For if all children are partakers of divine chastisement, then, beloved, it's essential for us to understand the value and profit of such chastisement, right? If the Bible says all are partakers of this, then don't you think it's vital that we attempt to learn and understand the value and profiting from which the Lord speaks? That's why I say there's a lot of Christians that fear and tremble Hebrews chapter 12 because they misunderstand it. And I hope and pray that God would open up our understandings even more tonight, that we might realize the value of it. And even though, as the apostle says here, no chastening at the present seems joyous or joyful, but grievous. And that's true. It's not a joyful experience in the present, but nevertheless, afterwards, nevertheless, just basically says it might not seem joyous at the moment, but nevertheless, it will afterward bring about peaceable fruit of righteousness. And that's what the believer looks to. The believer doesn't look at the present. He looks at what's beyond that. He looks at what's the purpose of it. What's the goal of this? And so it's important for us to understand that this should never be a negative theme for us. We should never think about God's chastisements as being something negative or something that is discouraging or downcasting or discomforting to us. We should look at God's chastisements as being loving acts of God, our Father, who's teaching us and sanctifying us through these actions. And if we do that, then we receive those chastisements. That's what the Bible says here in our text, which we'll look at in the end of the message this evening. But that's what enduring is. If ye endure these things, he treateth you as sons. If you endure these things, if you submit yourself to these chastisements, if you learn from these chastisements, God dealeth with you as sons. Now, that's a wonderful comfort to me, that God would deal with me as sons. For example, we only have a few here, but if you're really trying to be the best father you can, or even mother in that situation, when you chasten your children, you don't just chasten your children as Christians. I'm speaking about biblical principles here. You don't just chasten your children and then send them off to the room and just let them pout and go on and forget about it. No. After all the emotions are settled down, you take your child and you sit that child up on your lap and you explain to that child why that child was punished, because you want them to understand why you gave them that chastisement. And again, that's the same principle we have here, but in a greater degree. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields. If we endure these chastisements, God dealeth with us as sons. So that's the comfort of it. He'll take us back into His favor, so to say. He'll take us back into His bosom. He'll take us back into His arms, and He will explain to us, He'll define to us why such chastisements were necessary, so that we might partake. It says, partake in His holiness, but also that we might bring forth these fruits of righteousness of which He speaks. So, it's a wonderful, blessed truth, And yet, beloved, it's a truth which we have to grow into. Okay? We have to grow into it. Some of these things this evening, some of these things in our text, is actually meat. Because young children will not understand that. When we chasten our youngest children, our young children, they don't always understand. So we have to make things pretty plain and simple. And as they grow older, they begin to understand. We hope and pray that Mom and Daddy did that because they loved me. And I remember in the past that I've been chastened, but that didn't change Mom and Daddy's love for me. But when they're at a young age, sometimes they question if Mom and Daddy loves me now because they spanked me and so forth. You follow my thoughts on that? So some of this is actually, in many regards, meat. As we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we begin to grow and understand these chastenings of God more. And besides that, when we have very, very young children, we don't chasten them that sternly, do we? No. No, I mean, you don't take a baby as young as the one Deborah's got in her arms and take a rod to it and spat. I mean, you don't do that. It's just too, you don't do that. So it's the same thing that we have with the Christian life. God takes lambs in His bosom. And when they get old enough, then God teaches them. So, again, these are things, a lot of these things, they fit every age of a Christian, whether they're young in the Lord or whether they're older in the Lord, but a lot of meat involved in this as well. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, scourges every son whom He receiveth. Every son. This statement is not intended to make God appear as someone who merely delights in punishing the children. That's not what it's intended to do. For verses 9 and 10 declare such chastening to be for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Remember, He uses the illustration of earthly fathers, fleshly fathers. They do it for their own pleasure. He does it for our profit. So these verses are not intended to say, well, God's a pretty mean God. I mean, it says all are partakers of this chastening, that God punishes everybody, and God must love to be a vicious, angry man because He just punishes His children. That's not the intent of the passage of Scripture. Okay? Because Scripture speaks for itself and says, no, it's not like our fleshly fathers. Our Heavenly Father does this for our profit. Not just to satisfy His anger like our earthly fathers do. He does it for our profit so that we might be partakers of His holiness. So that we might be more sanctified as His children. And so that's the big thing. In other words, this divine chastening contributes to our sanctification. It contributes to our sanctification. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, I want to emphasize that. Unto them that are exercised thereby. In other words, those that endure. You see, all are partakers of this chastisement, but according to this verse here, not all learn from its lessons. All are partakers, but not all are exercised thereby. In other words, not all learn the lessons. Only those who are exercised thereby. Now, that doesn't mean that God stops chastening. It just means that some have a harder time of learning. If you've had more than one child, you know that children differ. One can be a little stubborn than the other one. One a little bit more meek and humble, one a little bit more wild and crazy, one more settled down. They got different characteristics. Spiritually seen in God's family, it's the same way. But we should strive that we would be able to endure these things, learn from these chastisements. And like we'll see in a few minutes real quickly, and not to despise them or think lightly of them, or not to faint under them, but that we would learn from these chastisements. And I say that because a lot of Christians do that spiritually what our children do physically. Well, I don't like you no more. I'm going to my room. Don't they respond sometimes like that? Don't they respond? Now, they're not supposed to. We hope that they don't. But don't they respond like that? They get mad at Mom and Daddy. They pout. They don't want to talk to them. They might not be rebellious with words or actions, but they don't want to talk to them. They don't come near to them. They go off somewhere and murmur and compound and complain. Well, that's what the Scripture says a lot of Christians do under God's chastisement. And God says, you're not being exercised because you're not mature enough to learn from this. So we need to pray about this when God chastens us, not to run off and spiritually pout. Lift up those hanging hands and those feeble knees and stand upright and be a man. God's chastening you. It's not joyous. It might be grievous at the moment. But it will nevertheless yield peaceable fruit of righteousness to those that are exercised thereby. So the encouragement is wonderful. It's a wonderful challenge and encouragement to all believers. And so I hope and pray that we learn that. If you endure chastening, God dealing with you as sons? For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth? If you endure, if you submit yourself to him, if you bear them, if you learn from them, if you humble yourself unto them, says God dealeth with you as with sons. That's a wonderful comfort. It's a wonderful comfort, beloved. One Puritan preacher put it this way: if you never meet with anything that is adapted to correct your faults, to subdue your temper, to chide your wanderings, it would prove that you were in the condition of an illegitimate child, cast off and disregarded by their father. Some folks would say, well, why does God need to chasten us? Well, I think all we need to do is just look at our life one day and realize God has enough reasons to chasten us. Even though we're saved, our hearts are still prone to wander, and we're fighting with sin in our members, and God doesn't come down and get angry and say, what did you do that again? Again, it's for our profit. He'll come down and chasten us that we might be sanctified. That we might be sanctified. If it doesn't feel good, well, ask your child after you've chastened them if it feels good. But then ask some of those children who were raised in godly homes later on in life, did that chastening pay off? Oh, yeah. It brought forth peaceable fruits of righteousness. That's why we have such trouble nowadays, and the generation that's out there now. There's no chastening in the families. There's no discipline in the families, so the children run wild, rebellious, do what they want. But you talk to that older generation that grew up in a strong, stern home, and they'll tell you, my father chastened me, and I'm glad he did because it taught me certain things in life. And I'm glad for those things. Same thing spiritually. It strengthens us, beloved. It strengthens us so when we grow as Christians and meet greater trials and greater afflictions, we're able to stand a little firmer. We're able to be a little bit more mature. And when it comes to decisions and discernment in life, we're not going to act like children because we're going to say, because I don't want to be chasing my mom. You know, there's some things I will not do simply because I fear God. Well, I don't know because I love him. Well, same with me, but there's some things I won't do because I fear God. I felt his chastening hand. It is not joyful. It is not a joyful thing. It's grievous. But, again, I know that through those times, God richly blessed me. And there's chastening comes in so many different ways, so many different faces. We might be chastened for our attitude. Maybe we wasn't right towards a brother or sister. God might mildly chase us. You know, the punishment that God gives us fits the crime. If it's a mild one, God gives us mild chastisement. If it's something bigger, and a lot of times God sometimes just chastens us for our attitude. You know that? Just having the wrong attitude, God just removes his presence. We feel guilty, uncomfortable, lousy, miserable, and we wonder why. We don't feel like we want to pray because we don't feel right. We just feel like, you know, like David, we just feel like taking up wings and flying away someplace. And so God, that could be a form of chastening from God saying, well, if that's the way that you feel, if that's your attitude about it, then this is what's going to, I'm going to withdraw my presence, and you're not going to be able to pray, read scriptures, or get any comfort in me. And so that could be, and I don't want to go through a list because it's limitless, the different types of chastisement, but chastisement isn't always a hard, strict punishment to where somebody is down on their face crying and weeping, saying, God is chasing me sore. Chastening sometimes comes milder, sometimes heavier. It depends on our actions. And I think as Christians, we need to understand the difference between chastisement and trial of our faith. You know that? If I'm being chastened by God, and I'm thinking of crying in my faith, I'm going to pray and react differently. And I'm not going to come to the solution, I'm not going to come to what God is going to show me. We need to mature in this to where we can spiritually discern if this is a chastening hand of God or if it's a fiery trial. Because we're going to respond differently. That's why doctrine's important. That's why scripture's important. That's why preaching's important. And Bible reading and prayer and all the things God's given us so we might grow in grace. Amen. And knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that I can discern whether this is the chastening hand of my Father or a trial to increase and encourage my faith. Very, very important. That's why I encourage us always to read and pray and seek the Lord. And yet whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Therefore, despise not. Don't make light of them. Therefore, despise not. Why? Because the Lord chastens those who he loves. The Lord chastens those whom he loves. It profiteth us. It sanctifies us. Therefore, don't think little of it. Don't cast them aside as if they have no meaning. Don't ignore them. Okay? You don't have to be saved very long to realize when something's amiss. Spirit of God is a very good communicator. And when He's grieved, whoa, believe me, you're grieved. When you're out of touch with God, He surely lets us know when we're out of touch with Him. Something's wrong. That's when we begin examining our hearts in prayer before God. God, that's why David said in Psalm 139, Lord, search my heart. See if there's any wisdom. Keep me from presumptuous sins, he also says. Those sins that nobody can see, not even me. Those that rise up within me. David was constantly examining himself. We know when we're out of touch with God. That's when we need to begin the examination process. And prayer and Bible reading. Seeking God. God, what is this? Is it a trying of my faith? Is it chastisement? And usually, with time, we can discern whether it's a chastisement or a trying of our faith. Because we usually know what the source of the problem is. We usually do. And as we go in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we become more aware of that. For example, if I'm going through the day and I'm having an okay day with the Lord and let's just use family situation. Something happens in the family and I explode for some reason. Well, I know immediately that I've probably done something wrong because my heart's full of conviction. I'm not feeling well. I'm feeling uncomfortable and uneasy. Now, I can do one of two things. Either I can ignore that and say that I'm right, or I can submit myself to that and say, you know, we need to set things right here. We need to reconcile these things. We need to get these things back in order. That's something we need to constantly be processing through our minds. Don't let sun go down on the ground. It's wonderful when God does that. It's all sanctifying process. Yeah. When we despise God's chastening, that's lightly of them. We don't seriously humbly consider them, and we don't humble ourselves under them. Don't seriously consider them and humble ourselves under them. That's when we despise them. But if you endure, if you submit yourself to them, God will treat you as sons. It's not that He's not treating those who don't as sons, but they sure don't feel the same sense of His loving presence as a father. So if we endure them, though it's grievous at the moment, I don't know how God does that, but He does. He reveals Himself even more to us at that time as a loving Father so that we can endure that chastisement. We take that chastisement upon us. We humbly confess that. We humbly admit that. We acknowledge that. And therefore God deals with us as sons. You know what Israel's problem was? This is exactly what Israel's problem was. Jeremiah 5:3 says, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock, but they have refused to return. That was Jeremiah's complaint, or God's complaint through Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 5. And Jeremiah was one of the latter prophets before they went off into captivity. God says, I've come to you, and I've rebuked you, and I've chastened you, but you won't learn from me. And so, what you've done is you've made your faces harder than a rock. You've refused to return to me. So because they despised His chastening, God punished them. This was a very serious offense, which brought very serious and sad consequences. For had they not despised His chastisement, listen to me, had they not despised His chastisement, but endured them, they would have been blessed by the Lord. Now, the punishment was already, listen to me, the punishment according to God towards Israel and, well, the whole 12 tribes, actually, Israel, the punishment was already pronounced. Okay? They're going to be let off from the captivity. If they would have endured that chastisement, things would have turned out a whole lot better. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Look over at Jeremiah again, 24. I want us to read this because it's a short little chapter, but this is a wonderful example of enduring God's chastisement. Look at Jeremiah 24. Verse 1, And the Lord showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord after the Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and the princes of Judah with the carpenters and smiths from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. Listen to this. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are ripe, first ripe. The other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten, they were so bad. And said the Lord unto me, What seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, Figs. The good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil. They cannot be eaten. They are so evil. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans. What? For their good. That's strange, isn't it? He said, I'll be good to them who follow my chastisement, who endure it. I'll be good to them as a father is to a son. I'll bless them when I send them off to a strange country. For I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up. I will give them a heart to know me, and that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. That promises is to those who endure his chastisement. I'm sending you off into captivity. Go to captivity, endure yourself, submit yourself to this chastisement, and I'll be good to you. And as the evil figs, verse 8, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem, that remain in his land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt. And I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places, whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword, the famine, and the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. See, one was enduring, one was submitting to the chastisements of God, the other one was despising it, the other was fainting underneath it. And God says, okay, I will bless those that endure it, those that don't. Wonderful illustration. That's why I wanted to read the whole chapter. Wonderful illustration of when God passes chastisement upon His children, let us submit to that chastisement, because it will turn out to be for our profit. Guaranteed. Amen? Guaranteed. And that works so wonderfully well with Christian reconciliation. Because we have a difficulty humbling ourselves in seeking reconciliation. Yet, though it's grievous at the moment to our flesh, it's going to be beneficial and profitable for our spirit. You see? Could it be, and I'll hurry with this, but could it be that the lack of conversions, the countless divisions and schisms of God's churches, the mockings and ridicule of the world, and the lack of true godliness and faithful believers, could it be that these are all signs or evidences of God's disfavor or chastening on His church? Yes, it could. And I believe it is. I believe God has allowed the enemy to take us into captivity. That's why the church cannot do what it used to do. Amen? Divisions and schisms. The 12 tribes were divided. Babylon took over and the Israelites couldn't do anything. They were in captivity. I think in a lot of ways the church is in captivity to our spiritual enemies. We see so few conversions. We see so few faithful, diligent, fervent servants of the Lord. Everywhere I think we see the hand of God chastening His people. The question we have to ask ourselves is, are we going to submit to that chastening? Are we going to humble ourselves to that chastening so that we might learn from that chastening? Because the promises later on in Isaiah 35, 4-10, God promises them if they endure that, then God will come back, He'll revive the people, He'll bring them into the land, He'll give them blessings and abundant blessings. And that's the promises for everyone that endures chastening. Amen. I'll close with this. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. With all that said, what is the solution? What is the answer? Hebrews chapter 12:12-13. Wherefore, because of all that, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. In other words, don't be fearful, timid, afraid. Be courageous. Lift up those hands which hang down and the feeble knees. It's a sign in the Scripture of weakness, timidness, undecidedness. In other words, they can't decide what they're going to do. Lift up those hands and make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame you turn out of the way. See, something's been lame. Okay? God has spiritually lamed us in the chastening. But He says here, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Remember what the Lord did to Jacob when they was wrestling all night? Morning? The Lord wanted to leave, not like He couldn't leave, like He wouldn't put the touch. He wrestled all night, Jacob, but I'm not letting you go, and touched. partakers of His divine, partakers of His holiness, and will also reap the fruit of righteousness. So, there's a lot of good out of Hebrews chapter 12. Don't resent Hebrews chapter 12. Don't begin to shake in fear when you think about Hebrews chapter 12 and the Lord chasing. It's a serious thing, and it's not joyful at the moment, but faith is to hold the promises and realize that God is doing this for us. God give us grace and mercy and understanding and wisdom in us so that we might be able to learn from Jesus and the prophets of divine grace. What a blessing. What a blessing. I hope this verse now means more to you and giving you a little bit more understanding in it so that when God sees fit to chasten us, and sometimes He chastens the whole church. Sometimes it's not just one individual. He chastens the whole church. Remember Joshua and Ai? Because one man, 36 men died. Not saying that God will go that extreme, but God can chasten a whole church. So that's why we strive together to maintain that unity and love. And that's all part of it. And then we watch over one another with loving and caring and tender eyes and affection. Amen. So let us pray.